What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
What is up, Local Crown entrepreneurs? I am here today with Joel Kalm, and I am super pumped because everything that you put out there seems to be just having a good time in love and life. So you are going to tell us about that today. You're going to get into your business, what you do, and I'm going to hand it over to you. What are you doing today?
Today I am working on an NFT project. I just signed contract. Me and my partner signed a contract with a big Hollywood A-list celebrity whose name I cannot drop yet. But we are working on a series of NFTs that we're going to be releasing for this personality in April. And hopefully I can announce it soon because I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like a really good day. How do you get into NFT? Give me some history on what you've been doing. How'd you get in started and doing all this?
Sure. I've been doing online marketing and product creation and building sites since 1995. This is my 27th year of doing internet business. And wow. So during that time, you know, I've written 15 books on internet marketing. I've been in affiliate marketing, social media marketing, and really went down the crypto rabbit hole in 2017. Started a podcast with my friend Travis Wright called The Bad Crypto Podcast. And I think we may have been the first cryptocurrency podcast to cover NFTs. When CryptoKitties came out in December 2017, we did a show dedicated to them because we thought they were so funny and ridiculous. We minted our first NFTs in January of 2020, and since then have minted over 1.5 million NFTs of our own intellectual property, original creations on the Wax blockchain. And I'm eyeballs deep in NFTs all day, every day.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's incredible. That's like something so new too, you know, but like just your years of experience just probably launched you straight into that pretty simply, right? Or has it been a learning curve?
You know, because I've been in technology for so long, I was able to launch the product that we created easily enough. You know, once you understand marketing, which is a big part of any NFT launch, you know, you can create something beautiful, but if people don't know about it, they're not going to buy it. So applying what I learned from online marketing and building communities and doing contests and you know, creating excitement and buzz before the launch, we've been able to do really well with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So talking about that, and just like you said, you know, having the experience of marketing, bringing it into NFTs and everything, I know that is it a little bit different of a marketing strategy though? Because I feel like NFTs are so hard. I mean, personally, I like try and grasp them and people talk to me about them, but it's a different world in a sense. Did you have to switch your marketing strategy?
You know, marketing best practices really apply no matter what kind of product or service you're selling, right? It's about getting people to know who you are, to like what you're doing, to trust that what you're offering is of value, and then, you know, closing the deal. And mm-hmm. So with NFTs, there are those who already understand the NFT marketplace, and you can skip over a lot of the education. But for those who are new to it, it does take a little bit of education, helping them open up a wallet to get cryptocurrency, to understand how to store their items safely and securely, how to mint items. So there is a process, you know, because we're still very early in this. We're in the early adopter phase of NFTs, and mainstream adoption still is a couple of years or so away. And so this is the education process we're in now, but people are so curious and having so much fun with it that it's just another fun part of, you know, the process of walking people through it.
Yeah. And that's awesome. So I think you really do like embody the just having fun. So one of my thoughts or questions I really want to ask you is I think some people just put so much stress into work, even though they love it and they have a good time in a sense. They just lose the lightheartedness. How do you keep that? How do you keep that fun and just doing what you like to do all the time?
You know, it's really funny and that you asked that question. I don't know how much research you've done on me, but my 15th book was called The Fun Formula. Yep. And it was all about how curiosity and taking risks and then trusting the process are a key to success. I looked at, you know, my career over the past 26 years. At that point, I was 24, and reverse engineered it to go, okay, where did I have the greatest success? And it wasn't when I was hustling and grinding. It wasn't when I was most stressed. It was when I was doing what was most natural to me, when I was following my own creativity and curiosity, that I was willing to take risks and trust that the outcome would be whatever it was, that I wasn't married to the outcome of it being super successful. You know, and because of that, I've had a lot of things that failed, but you have to try. And that's, you know, you learn by experimenting. And so I'm never married to the outcome of what's going to happen. I have a goal of what I would like to accomplish, but I'm not going to let it stress me out, because there's always more toys to play with, right? There's always more things we can try. You know, I had like 10 of our different sales that we did with NFTs sold out.
Yeah.
Some of them really fast. The last one I did didn't. And it's like, okay, what can I learn from this? What am I going to, you know, do to take this to the next project that I have? And so, you know, why stress it out? You know, the only things that ultimately really matter in life from my perspective are people and the experiences that we share. Because ultimately, you know, we all die and we don't take any of the things with us. We don't take any of the money with us. So life is for living. And if you're going to stress about business, you know, the little things, then you're going to lose your hair and you're going to grow old faster. So that's helped me to stay youthful. I'm approaching 60 years old and I don't feel it.
Yeah, no, that's like so, I guess, insightful in a way, but like just making it so that you're enjoying every step of the process rather than, you know, worrying about how that process is going to turn out. It's the same goal that you're going to get there anyway.
It's so, not all going to be fun. Some of it is going to be stressful, because that's just, you know, you have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly with it. But I think, you know, we make choices about what we want to pursue. And I see people choosing to suffer over the short term for what they see as long-term goals, but not always having control over what's going to happen. Rarely have the things that I have planned gone according to plan. There's an old proverb, man plans and God laughs, because all kinds of obstacles are thrown in our way, things we didn't see coming. And you have to be able to roll with the punches and adapt to that. Because if you're rigid, you know, if you're rigid, you just get knocked down. But if you're flexible, guess what? You can bend and sway with the wind and figure out, okay, what do I do now? And it's a lot more relaxing to do that as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That sounds like I need to put this into practice, because
chill.
Just chill. Just not care.
Well, it's not that you don't care. Caring is good. It's that you're okay with the twists and the turns and the surprises and things not going the way you thought, and being able to step back from it and not think, oh, I'm horrible because it didn't work out the way I wanted to, but look at it objectively and say, okay, what happened here? What went wrong, or what didn't go according to what I thought would happen, and learn from it. We grow the most when we are challenged. When things go well, then you start to think that you're undefeatable, and you know everything you're going to do is going to turn to gold. And then life has a way of, you know, bringing you humility and saying, "Oh no, you don't have it all figured out," because nobody has it all figured out. And being able to roll with that and learn from it is where you're going to really get your greatest growth as a person, which is ultimately better than any amount of money you're going to make.
Yeah, and actually, that's actually like a really good catch, because like I feel a lot of times, even personally, like I just did it, you know, you're like, oh, you need to not care. But like people care. So like, they think that you have to care. So you have to be this rigid, like, oh, it's very serious. And that's how I care. But you don't have to be that way. You can be a very relaxed, but like still care about the whole thing in a sense. Yeah.
It matters. It just doesn't matter more than your blood pressure. You know, everything has got to be in balance and moderation. I think a lot of times people lose perspective on what's important. This is why you see time and again, people who win the lottery don't know how to manage that kind of money, because it's so sudden, and often it ends in self-destruction, and then they lose the money. Because they don't have the mindset of taking care of themselves and in their personal growth first. They see money as the doorway to the freedom they want. But you have to be free inside before you can be free outside.
Yeah, exactly. That makes so much sense. And I think that's what people maybe get in a circle kind of trying to chase, you know, they're just in this constant confusion state of why is it not working for me, when really they just need to stop and be like, okay, it's because I'm not working my process and like being happy while I do that.
Or maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Oftentimes people are told by parents, by teachers, by society that you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to be this. And we have to look inside ourselves to see what it is that we, you know, that we want to be and what we want to do. It's an old story. You know, the parents say, I want you to be a doctor. Well, I don't want to be a doctor. I want to be a dancer. Right. Whatever it is, people laughing at others for getting into NFTs and then those making NFTs being far more successful than those who are mocking them at what they're doing. Nobody can create that path for you. And so you have to decide what is it you want to do and who do you want to be?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure you've experienced that a lot with NFTs because it is such a, I mean, there is a very distinct split of that is the stupidest thing, or this is like revolutionary, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big cut. Like people are just, they're making their points on it. So like, how do you like mediate that?
I guess that's easy. It's really easy for me because I've been pioneering technology my whole life. I bought my first computer when I was 16 years old in 1980. I saw the future then. Yeah. I was dialing into before the internet to what we called bulletin board services at 300 baud on a little modem. You would dial and hear the on the phone and put it on the coupler. So I've seen the future again and again. I remember, you know, building my first site in 1995 and people looking at me funny. I remember when Jeff Bezos started selling books out of his garage and the pundits and the critics laughed at him. I remember all that. And so those people, those are either the mass adopters. They're the ones that come once the technology is proven over time. They're the ones that have to eat crow. All of these people out there, especially gamers, the ones that hate NFTs, but are happy to spend, you know, $1,000 on a skin that they don't actually own in a game. And they're being told, oh, NFTs are bad for the environment. These are the people that just eat up the narrative of whatever's told to them and they parrot it back. They're not thinking for themselves. They're not asking the questions and doing the research. They will all be buying NFTs. They will all come around to understand. And so having seen this cycle again and again, I just look at it and laugh because I know how this is going to end. NFTs are here to stay. It's going to change. Cryptocurrency is going to change the world. It's already beginning. The people who are playing games will all be involved in some sort of play to earn, and they will be involved in NFTs, and they'll make their excuses about, you know, well, this is different, but it's not. We're just pioneering it now and they just don't understand it. And that's fine. That's why we call the middle of the technology adoption cycle mass adoption, because it's where the masses come and buy. You know, I remember buying my first iPhone a week after they came out in 2007. People are like, that's crazy. Nobody should spend $600 on a phone, a smartphone. We don't need a smartphone. You know, look today, everybody has a smartphone, including those people who back then said nobody would need it. And they're paying a lot more than $600 for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck so. Yeah. Then there's like a new release every year and it's right. Like the biggest line you would ever wait in. Yeah. So yeah, that's like crazy that it just grows that way, you know, and you have to change people's minds. Like, I think that's in anything you're creating. But for these people that are kind of on that edge of, okay, I want to get involved, but it's a scary, you know, dark, deep water. How do you like recommend they start kind of jumping into NFTs and all that if it is going to be, you know, the future?
Well, one way is to listen to our podcasts. You know, we do the Bad Crypto podcast, which is more general cryptocurrency and blockchain. And then we do the Nifty Show. We, myself and Travis Wright, created the first NFT podcast. We started in summer of 2020. It's called the Nifty Show. And we talk about these things. And then, you know, go to YouTube and just look up, what is an NFT? How do I buy an NFT? How do I open a wallet? And don't fall for the hype and the scams. You know, watch out for anybody that's promising you that you're going to make money with anything. Just learn, understand the technology, understand how to open a wallet, how to buy crypto, how to mint NFTs, how to secure your NFTs, because there are people out there understand how to look for scams, because there are people all over Discord and Telegram and the web and Twitter that will try to get your wallet keys and steal your NFTs and your crypto. So the way to get started is to educate yourself. To not just go, all right, I'm going to go, people are making money, I'm going to go make money. That is a trap. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself first.
Yeah. And I think that is probably why people are a little more scared on the technology end, because it is that very, if I don't know a lot about it, there's someone out there who does, and they're gonna catch me for sure. Yeah. And like that's, and I feel like technology is a very hard thing to go learn about.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of content out there. It's not that complicated. People are using technology already. People yeah. are using technology every time they use their credit card and swipe it, and they don't worry about it. Don't get your credit card stolen, right? That's right. The key. People understand that with your email, you know, odds are you've got some passwords you've saved or used that to your bank accounts. How do you secure those? You should be just as smart with securing your crypto and your NFTs and being secure with your usernames and passwords as you would be with anything else that you've done online. It's not a big leap. It's just understanding the nuances of it. And it's not rocket science. It's something that anybody can learn.
Yeah, that's and I think someone like you or hearing that stuff really like eases, like it even eases my mind. Like I'm like, oh, okay, I can go on YouTube and, you know, like pick this up pretty quick. Yeah. So that's like good to hear, you know? And yeah, I think it's probably people's just outlook of being on the outside of it. Yeah. So when you're getting
into by the way, for those people, let me say this, you're still early. If you're listening to this right now, we're recording this in February of 2022. You're still early. I would say that there's probably 2% of the world that, you know, even knows what an NFT is. Yeah. And so if you're learning now, then it maybe not even that much. You're still early. People are always like when they're here today, like I'm living today and I'm hearing about all these people doing this stuff, I've missed it. And they don't understand the big picture, looking at, you know, the timeline from the future. Which is, as a futurist, that's what I do. I try to look at where are we now? And today always looks like too late. But in the big picture of where we are in the timeline, you are still towards the beginning of the timeline for NFTs and cryptocurrency. And so those who pay attention now and want to build for the future, you're in the right place.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause that's crazy. Cause I literally, you saying that, I aligned with all of that. I completely thought I am way too late on this gap. It looks huge already. And yeah. And, and it's super early and you wouldn't even know that.
Super early. In fact, if you look at OpenSea, which is the biggest marketplace for NFTs, I heard last week that about 250,000 wallets account for the majority of the transactions. Mm-hmm. That's it. Wow. There's 365 million people just in the United States alone. There are 7.5 billion people on this planet. Only 250,000, 250,000 wallets account for the majority of transactions. That's nothing. That is so small. We're so early.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'll let that encourage you.
Yeah, I was like, that is like, so yeah, just like hearing the data of it really just makes it more real that you're like, oh, wow. But so as like a futurist, as you say and stuff, how did you get so good at becoming just like, I mean, do you just, you see something, you just know this is going to take it off? How have you started reading those things?
Yeah, it's honestly not as complicated as you would think. And I'm probably not as smart as you might think I am. Basically, I've always been super curious. I'm like a big kid and I like playing with the toys. It's what I see them as. I see technology as toys, opportunities to try something new, to see what you can do with it. And over the years, playing with the different toys, sometimes I've discovered something that, no, that's not my thing. I don't want to do that. Doesn't mean that it can't be used successfully. Just means I'm not interested. Other times I've dabbled with some technology and go, that's kind of cool. And other times I discover something. I'm like, this is really badass. I want to spend a lot more time playing with this toy, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the internet. That was, you know, the iPhone. That was building websites, creating online games, building mobile apps, right? These things all interested me. And because they interested me, I've done well with them. Same thing with cryptocurrency. When I discovered crypto, I'm like, this is badass. This is world-changing. I want to learn more. I want to talk about it. I want to create projects. NFTs led to the same thing because I've always been into collections. I, you know, used to collect comic books and Star Wars cards and all kinds of things. And like, these are collectibles that have real ownership and that don't get destroyed by fire or water or time or folding. And I can trade them online and get instantly paid for them. And I can speculate and I can collect. And so it's really that simple. It's just a matter of my personality being able to go, okay. And then analyzing what I'm using and making projections about where I think it's going. And typically I won't get involved in something if I don't think it has a future.
Yeah. So with that whole like collectibles and everything, I think one of the biggest questions a lot of people have is how does this collectible item hold value? Like what gives it that value? So what do you like kind of respond to that? Is it just a personal kind of thing or like the title behind it is like the value or how?
Yeah. Well, what gives any collectible value? The public determines. It's what mm-hmm. somebody is willing to pay for it, right? Why right. is a certain baseball player card, you know, worth a certain amount of money? Why is a certain comic book, this edition, you know, created by this artist with this storyline, why is that worth something more than the next edition that didn't have that character in it? The public decides. They determine what's rare, what's special. The thing about NFTs is we have true digital scarcity. Unlike a comic book or a baseball card where we have no idea how many were manufactured, we know exactly how many of any NFT are being minted and placed on blockchain. We know where, if it came from the original collection, we know who has purchased it, how much they bought it for, or what they traded it for. It's all very public on the blockchain. And so the value is in what the collector base says it's worth. Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about it is, unlike physical collectibles, it can't get thrown away unless you lose your wallet keys. It can't be damaged in a fire or by smoke or by water. You know, it doesn't get weathered over time. It's on blockchain. It's digital. It always stays 100% mint.
Interesting. So can you also just dive in real quick onto blockchain and like how that kind of works, as in it's always there. It's this huge database that's, I think, brand new, right? Like it's a totally different.
Yeah, blockchain technology came to light in 2009 as a decentralized public ledger. So I'm going to stay really high level with it just for time and to not overcomplicate. There's a lot of great videos, explainer videos on YouTube. What is blockchain is what I would search for. But basically, think of it as a more efficient, more effective way of tracking payments, goods, services, contracts, on a very public ledger where you can see every transaction that takes place. And it's not hackable. You can't go in and hack the blockchain. There's always proof of every transaction, which makes it difficult to create fraud. And so if people just think of it as a more efficient system for transacting payments and items, then wrap your head around that. And then you can dive deeper on how does it actually work.
Work. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. It's so nice to hear someone that's like super invested in it just really break it down, because I just feel like it's, yeah, like a foreign world. I mean, like you said, 2% of people maybe know, you know, even have heard of it, which is crazy to me. So where do you see like yourself and everything and other people building this out to be? Like, where do you see this end goal going to?
We're building, you know, a new way of transacting with NFTs. It's not just for collectibles and art. There's going to come a day where your driver's license will be an NFT. Perhaps your car title, your home deed will be NFTs because they signify true ownership. We're going to see all kinds of practical applications. You know, as of today, this recording, Snoop Dogg is dropping three music tracks as NFTs for the first time. Like, you can't go buy the MP3 or the albums anywhere. And this, musicians are going to be moving towards this, because now their music can be in the form of artwork that's you know, visual. It can be animated. It can be static images. It can contain the music, and you know exactly how many copies of that song are out there, which gives value to them. Because if that's rare, if he only puts out, I don't know, 1,000 copies of this new song, that means only 1,000 people can own it. Anybody can listen to it, but to own the song, say, hey, I'm one of 1,000 that owns this, the value of that just goes zoop, straight up. So we're going to see all kinds of new ways that people are going to pioneer the space. It's so world changing that it's going to affect almost every vertical. Blockchain technology is, and NFTs are going to find their way into practical applications in many of those verticals.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. So, like, I guess on all of that, what's your biggest advice, I guess, to people that, like, you just seem to be able to dive into these things that you're so interested in? Let's say, I mean, like, NFTs and everything like that sounds so interesting, but maybe not dive in life worthy. How do you advise people to do this in other areas of their life?
Do what you want to do, right? What are you curious about? Learn about that. It really comes down to something so simple as make some choices, but block out the noises of what other people are telling you to do. And maybe those inner voices that are not your voice, but are echoes of other people telling you what you should and shouldn't do. I like to say, don't let anybody should on you, and figure out what you want to do and pursue that. That's where you're going to find not only the greatest happiness and internal joy, but I think the greatest success, both in business and life. And I need to wrap. I really appreciate you you interviewing me today, but I'll leave you with this. I would love to hear from you a year from now. I'd love for you to mark your calendar and get back to me in a year and let me know where your NFT journey has taken you, because you're a bright young lady and I have a feeling that you're going to go down this rabbit hole and discover some amazing things.
I'm sure. And so same with all of our audience. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on today. Do you really quickly just want to shout out where we can find you, what we can?
Sure. If you want to learn about cryptocurrency and blockchain in general, go to badcryptopodcast.com. We're available on all the podcast players. And if you're really interested in NFTs, thenifty show.com. And we've got Twitters and Instagrams for both of those, so we're pretty easy to find.
Awesome. And yes, for all our listeners, they are linked below in the description. And yes, please reach out and get way more information. This was awesome. Thank you so much again.
Thank
you. See you guys next time.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the entrepreneur on fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.